Some of the minhagim of baking and preparing matzah. Okay, I heard that Haredi matzah is $51 a pound.
How much?
$51. Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
Can you imagine? $51. It's like take out a mortgage on your house if you want to buy Haredi matzah. Matzah. Let's discuss some of the minhagim of baking and preparing matzah. Okay, so I want to just discuss some halacha, and all the halacha ties into just the one yisaid of machshava of drush, which we'll come to at the very, very end. But let's just go through all of the unique elements that are found in the preparation baking of matzah. Number one, we have something. It says that this week's parasha. This week is parasha sachodesh. We are going to lay in the pasuk ushemartem es hamatzos. You shall guard the matzah. The mitzvah de'oraisa that matzah requires shemira. Question is that from one point in time does it require shemira from the time of the planting or the time of the baking? So in other words, when you plant seeds in the ground and it begins to grow, there is such a concept that if it's the grain is ripe, if the wheat is ripe, it's ripe. It's ready for harvest, and you do not remove it from the ground. You do not harvest. You let it remain attached to the ground, and it rains. Theoretically, there's potential that it can become chometz even when it's attached to the ground. If it's over mature, there is an ideal moment to harvest the grain, the wheat. We're talking about wheat. There's an ideal moment to harvest the wheat. If you do not harvest it after it's fully developed, when it's ready to go, and you let it sit there longer than it should, theoretically, if it rains, it gets very, very wet, even though it's still in its kernel and it's surrounded by the chaff and everything is still there. If the water seeps in deep enough in a very, very strong storm, even when it's attached to the ground, that kernel of wheat can to some degree turn into chometz. Therefore, some are very makbid that the shemira, this is an extreme chumrah, that the requirement of shemartem es hamatzos begins already when it's growing. Part of shemartem es hamatzos to make sure that it does not turn into chometz begins when it's growing, that you harvest the wheat when it's mature and not overdone. Don't let it sit attached to the ground too long. Then what's next? Everything is very important. You know, today, buy wheat from a secular source, from a non-Jewish source, is categorically forbidden, because what do? They wash it. The first thing they do when they harvest the grain, I don't know exactly what point in time, they separate the chaff from the kernel. And they process it. At some point in time, they just wash it in a sink, in a big basin, to clean it from any pesticides, from dirt, from any residue, so it should be clean. When they wash it, there's a very great possibility, it's not muchrach, that it will turn it into chametz. I mean, it's a kernel being washed in water. You could argue that it's not chametz. If someone goes and buys wheat in the supermarket, you go to ShopRite and you buy flour. Is that chometz d'oraisa?
No, it can't be.
I don't know. What? So no one knows for sure. No one can give you a clear answer. If you go out into the ShopRite and you buy flour, someone will tell you it's chometz d'oraisa. I heard someone screaming chometz d'oraisa. Why? Because first of all, there's no shmira. Okay, that's for sure. It's not been guarded. So you're lacking with shmartem, but who says that's where the shmira begins? The shmira me'ikar hadin begins when you add water and you make it into a dough. That's when it says in this week's parasha u'shmartem es hamatzos, there's a mitzvah deraisa to guard the matzah that it should not turn into chametz. That is when you add the water and you begin to knead it. That's where it begins. There's a hiddur that you should already watch the flour before, when it's in storage. And then you want a bigger hiddur that when they grind it, when they take the wheat and they grind it to make sure they don't grind it in a way which causes it to become chametz. Some will tell you, if there's too much heat in the grinding process, even if there is no water, it can make it into chametz. Or if they leave it in the field, they cut it, they harvest it, and they just let it lie in the field, and the next day it rains, or there's tal. These are all chumras. These are all very big chumras in how far we are obligated to go to guarantee that the flour that we have in front of us has not turned into chametz. When you buy matzah, look on the box. It will say it's kosher lePesach. The only then when it says kosher lePesach, it has to say that it is shamor mishas from when. Look on the box what it says. Most of the boxes of the shmur matzah shamor mishas kitzira from the moment of the harvest, and that's why they're charging you $51 a pound. Because they had a shomer, supposedly. I don't believe there's a shomer there, but there's a shomer, supposedly, from the time that it's been harvested, taken off the ground to make sure it does not come anywhere near water, from the time they transport it from the field into the silo to the separation of the kernel and the chaff and the grinding into flour and the storage and the preparation, the sifting
so
there.
It's not claimed. It could be bacteria and it could be dirt on it.
By us, definitely, because we are doing a lot. We are doing Jewish matzah, kosher matzah. Yes, definitely does not meet up to industry standards. That is absolutely correct. What the goyim are doing in preparation for the matzah probably involves a lot more standards to protect it from bacteria, from contamination, and cleanliness, which for shemura matzah is impossible. Some will argue just the opposite, that because it's guarded from beginning to end, it's even more healthy than who knows what's going on with the stuff that you buy in ShopRite. It goes both ways. Okay, certainly most of kashrus is infinitely healthier. Anything that has a hashkacha, that being kosher, is usually 10, 20, 30 notches healthier than anything that you're going to buy that's regular. Because just the fact that it's kosher automatically means that the cleanliness and the handling and the processing is done with incredible care and precision and accuracy relative to what goes on by the goyim. That's a fact. But you're saying making a very interesting point when it comes to matzah. You're right. The standard flour that you buy in ShopRite is washed. It's washed. It's cleaned because there might be bacteria, pesticides, all of these different things. And that cannot be done when it comes to shmur matzah. But you might argue, may the shmur matzah may have been planted without even them spraying pesticides to begin with. So maybe in that respect, it's even healthier. Okay, who's to say? Who knows? You should know. It's interesting. Where is your flour coming from? Is it coming from Arizona? Is it coming from? Who knows where it's coming from? Next inyan. Now, I'm jumping around. Is there an inyan to use flour that was grown in Eretz Yisrael? What would be the advantage of doing so? There's a very beautiful advantage. If the flour that you are using to bake your matzahs came from Eretz Yisrael, you know what that means? They were mafresh, trumois, and maestros. So the matzah you're eating is a matzah which is sacred. Because first of all, it grew in the Holy Land, okay? It grew in an Admas Kodesh, holy land. Number two, it's not just that it grew in holy land. A mitzvah was done with this flower. There was a hafrasha of teruma and meiser. That's a very beautiful thing. When you mafish teruma meiser, you're giving bracha to the flower itself, besides the challah. Okay, challah you do it anywhere. Challah is done even on the isa of chutz laretz. But on the other hand, there's another advantage that taking challah from dough of Eretz Yisrael may be a deraisa. That might be a higher level. Taking challah from the dough in Chutzli Eretz, certainly with the Rabbanan. Taking challah from the dough of Eretz Yisrael, that might be on a high madrega deraisa. So, first of all, the flour is holy flour. Number two, mitzvahs de oraisa is, or not necessarily deraisa, it's a kosher, even bisman azen, but still truma and meiser is taken. That adds a new dimension to the matzah. The ikur is the shemira, not necessarily the baking. And that explains why we do not make a bracha when we make the matzah. When you build the sukkah, me ikur hadin, you are supposed to make a bracha she'achiyanu on the building of the sukkah. When you make matzah, there is no bracha made. Why not? Especially, you're supposed to make matzah. How come you don't make a bracha when you make the matzah? It says, u'shmartim es ha-matzahs. There is no mitzvah, according to most of the poskim, there is no mitzvah to bake matzah. The mitzvah is to guard the matzah that you bake. It should not turn into chametz. That's a critical thing to understand. Again, there is no mitzvah d'oraisa to bake matzah. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat matzah. The only way you're going to eat matzah is if you bake the matzah. So how come everyone is so worked up about baking matzahs? Everyone is running to the matzah baking factory. They roll up their sleeves. They put on the apron. Everyone wants to participate in this mitzvah. What's this all about? Is everyone running to go to cut off from the tree an esrog and a lulav and hadassim and aravos? You go into the store and you buy it. It's done for you. No one's coming, going down into the fields to go and cut off the lulav and esrog. No one's going, building a sukkah. You don't see people running around to go build their own sukkah. People do, they don't have a choice. But if you want to go pay someone $10 to go build, but not, cost a lot more than that today, you want to pay someone to put up your sukkah for you, okay? So we don't see people, today I have to take off from work because I have to go bake matzahs. Did you take off from work to go build your sukkah? No. So why you take off from work to go bake matzahs? Also, practice sessions. Okay, in Torah Vidas, they would have practice sessions.
It's cooperation.
Why? There's no mitzvah to bake matzah. The mitzvah is that you eat the matzah. It's a hechsher mitzvah. The answer is the mitzvah, you're right, there is no mitzvah to bake matzah. There's a mitzvah to guarantee that the matzah is not chametz. There's a mitzvah of shemirah. And when you're busy baking the matzahs, you're guarding it firsthand that it does not turn into chametz. You do not make a bracha when you're guarding it. You know why not? Who says you will succeed? When you do something positive, when you build a sukkah, you're building a sukkah. You're doing something with your hands. That me'ikar hadin, you can make a bracha. Me'ikar hadin, when you build a sukkah, you're supposed to make a bracha shachiyana. We don't. We don't. For different reasons, we don't. Whatever.
I know. Why same reason? Maybe the sukkah will collapse.
No, no, that's not the reason. When it comes to matzah, there's no mitzvah. You have to hold it right. I'm sorry. When it comes to matzah, there's no mitzvah to bake the matzah. The mitzvah to guarantee that the matzah does not turn into chametz, and no one can be certain he will succeed because there are many things that are not under your control. There's an oven. Who says the oven will work? Who says the oven will reach the intensity that you need it to? Who says that the matzah will not fold one on top of the other? There's a fold. There's always different things that happen in the process that are not fully under your control, and therefore you cannot make a bracha on such a mitzvah. You don't make a bracha on a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. Who says the poor men will want to accept your gift? So to who says that it will, that guarding the matzah that will not turn into chametz will be successful? Therefore, because the mitzvah is all about guarding it, that is why we find extreme chumis. For example, a child. Can a child be the one who makes the matzahs? No. Can you give it a non-Jew be the one who makes the matzahs? No. Because it's not a matter of making the matzah. That's also a fact in machine matzah. It's factored because it's not a matter of doing it. If the whole issue of making the matzah lishma is to do it lishma, it's well accepted that you can have a machine do it lishma. As long as you start the process. You start the process, you press a button. There are many areas of halacha where you don't have any problems with having even non-Jews do it. We tell them, you do it for us. We're paying you to do it. We're going to watch you. That's also going to be good. A lot of things are like that. You help them a little bit, you misayeh. But when it comes to matzah, there's no mitzvah to make matzah. The mitzvah is to guard the matzah that it should not turn into chametz. Being that it's external, it's guarding, that adds a new dimension which really is unprecedented in other areas of halach. And that's why it causes the matzah to be in a category by itself. When it comes to machines, no one has a problem wearing tefillin and ritzuos that were made by machines. Today, there are chumras, the chumras, there's a whole, whatever, people like to pay money, throw around money, so they'll have the avod, the siyad, avod, the siyad. These are all nice, fancy things, people, but never were ever really worked up about this. But matzah, we've all been worked up about, machine matzahs. It's not just a matter of chametz. It's a matter, ushmartem es ha-matzahs means shmira. The only way you can do shmira is on hands-on. I am in the process, I'm making the matzah menela, I'm guarding it from becoming chametz. It's a different dimension, which is unprecedented in any other area of halacha, which always has to be done here, it has to be guarded. Therefore, children and goyim cannot participate. I'm sorry. For this reason, the custom is to have wheat matzos. You don't find people having barley matzos. Why not? Now, people who are allergic, there's nothing. Oh, there's someone who's allergic. There's nothing to talk about. That's the way it is. Okay. If someone is allergic, yeah, I don't have a choice. But a person is not allergic to matzah. There's no big in the supermarkets. You don't find you have 5 grains. So there's wheat, barley, oats, rye, spelt. Anything I'm missing?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so you don't find. Oh, you have a choice. You have pomegranate. You have 5 aisles. This is the wheat section. This is the barley section. The oat section. The rye and the spelt. We did. It's only wheat. And people who are allergic, that's a different story. Why? So there are a few reasons. Reason number one is, from the 5 grains, the one that is least susceptible to turning into chametz in a controlled environment is wheat. Chitim. Barley is more dangerous. Barley, the nature of barley is such that it turns into chametz quicker. Under the condition, it happens more often. There's more of a chance that there'll be an accident, something will go wrong, and it will turn into chametz. So therefore, that is why traditionally we only focus on wheat, because wheat does not turn into chametz as quickly as the other 5 grains. Number two, another critical reason why we have wheat, because matzah in the world of Agada is called a carbon toida. The night of Pesach, we're bringing a carbon toy. That's the most simplest reason why the child says, "Man eshtana halayla zemikol halayla shebechol halas anoichlim chametz umatza." What are you talking about? Shebechol halaylas anoichlim chametz umatza. Shebechol is anoichlim chametz. Or Pesach we eat matzah. Tonight we're only eating kuloi matzah. What are you talking about? Since when did we have a dinner when we had chametz and matzah? We only have chametz in this house. When was the last time we ate matzah, kosher Pesach, in this house? You go to a restaurant, what, they serve you matzah, chametz and matzah together? So the simplest answer to the question is, when you bring a carbon toida to thank Hashem for good news, a carbon toida has 40 breads, 30 of which are chametz, 10 of which are matzah. Shebechol halelos, every night when we celebrate success, when we give thanks to Hashem, we have a carbon toida, we have a carbon Pesach, a zevach, a carbon toida, and we have chametz matzah. Why is Pesach matzah? Why is the carbon Pesach, our carbon toida, only accompanied by matzah and no chametz? So what do you see? So what do we take out of this? Is that when you eat the matzah, you're really eating a carbon toida. A carbon toida, the Torah says, must come from wheat. Wheat. So in order to upgrade your matzah into a carbon toida, it has to be chitin. No, solid can be from barley also. It has to be chitin. Has to be from wheat, nothing else. Okay, there's an interesting minhag, Rabbi Yisai, I've never seen this before, and I don't want to see this, is they blow shofar. They blow, when you bake the matzah, you blow shofar. Did you ever go to a matzah baking factory, and when they say, l'shei matzah is mitzvah, tekiyah, you ever see that in the matzah baking factory? Well, it used to be done. Why? Because in the Beis Hamikdash, when they bake the matzah, Erev Pesach, they baked it in 3 shifts, and it says, Beferish, they blew shofar. after the first shift entered and they locked the doors, they blew a tekiah, shvarim tekiah. So as a zecher lemikdash, it's a very shu gemara. Zecher lemikdash, maybe erev Pesach matzahs, those are big matzahs, erev Pesach, they blow shofar.
Even today?
Today we don't. You don't see this. You never heard
in
of it.
Israel,
never.
In Israel, they don't do.
Never heard of this. Matzah, you have to own the matzah. Okay, there's a din of lochem by matzah, and therefore, if you buy matzah on credit card, you got a problem. If you buy matzah on credit card, with a credit card, you go to the matzah baking factory, and you pick up your matzah, and you give them the credit card. It's not so simple. You pay even pay with a check, and the check was not yet cashed. It's a problem. It's not an unavoidable problem. The assumption is, as long as you've swiped your card, the owner of the facility is the belief Sholem gives you the matzos that it should be yours to keep, even though the money has not yet cleared until after Pesach or the check has not cleared. You have to own the matzos, and best thing is cash on delivery. What? They don't know what.
You need points.
Okay, good question. Good question. You got a gasha. The point is, you really have to rely upon the owner of the matzah baking factory. They should give it to you, belev shalem, regardless if your check bounces or the credit card doesn't clear until a later point in time, because there's a din of lochem. When you go as a guest in someone's home and they serve you matzah, the assumption is, there's a whole issue about this. If you're a guest in someone's home, so when you're eating, you're eating their food, eating your food. They put out a portion, they go to someone's house, right? They serve you a soup. And then, when the meal is over, what do? You say, I didn't finish the soup. Can you bring me a plastic cup? I want to take it home with me. So they say, no, you're not taking it. It's mine. It's my property. You put the soup in front of me, you've given it to me. It's my property. I can sell this on eBay. It's mine. Is that true or not?
Yes.
Is that true? Some say yes, some say not. The assumption is, when you put food in front of a person in your home, it's their property. If you're a guest in someone's home and they put in front of you matzah, the assumption is it's your matzah. It's lochem. Some people have a noig chumrah, is they explicitly ask the balabayas, they should be makne them the matzah, so it should be a din of lochem, so it should be yoitz on all levels of din of raisa. In Eretz Yisrael, it's much more common. Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, is very poor, and bachrim who stay over, or seminary girls who stay over, it's accepted that you bring your own matzah. It costs a fortune. So therefore, it's nice enough that we're hosting you for the Seder, we have to pay for your matzahs also. It's a lot of money for a very poor family. So it's very common when a person comes as a guest at a Seder in Eretz Yisrael, you bring your own matzah. So let's say you don't bring your own matzah and they give you matzah. Do you say that since do you say in that case they're not really giving it to you? It's really the leftovers are there, so it's not really yours? Not likely. If you're a guest, it's self-understood that they're giving you the matzah. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, we're out of time. Okay, Hallel. There is a mitzvah, there's also a minog. They talk to do this. This is to say, when you're baking the matzahs, is to recite Hallel. It's Erev Pesach, even not Erev Pesach. It's a minig. They sing. It's sing is not called saying. You have to mamash say the whole Hallel. You have to have Sidurim. So the people that come, who don't come to watch, they at least should be doing the saying of the Hallel.
They say the Hallel while we're baking.
While the people are doing the work, so the other people are saying the Hallel. They're saying, what? Without a bracha. Zecher lemikdash. The question is, in the Beis HaMikdash, do they make a bracha? When they said the Hallel, and when they bake when you have all three together, Pesach, Matzah, Marah, and they sang the Hallel, and so when they shechted the carbon Pesach, so we're not doing it. We're doing it Zecher lePesach, because we the Afikoyim in Zecher lePesach. So when you're baking the matzos, so Zecher leShchitas haPesach, you would sing. The minig is to sing Hallel. Then Bizman Shabbos Hanusha Yekayim. Some Golchor they made a bracha. Some explain that's the reason why we say Hallel at night in Shul. Those who have the custom to recite Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses at night before you go home, what is that Hallel about? Some will tell you that it is a zecher for the Hallel that was recited Erev Pesach Bizman Shechitas HaPesach. It has nothing to do with halal at night. It has a halacha. It's a carryover erev Pesach. We were supposed to shech the Korban Pesach, and when you shech the Korban Pesach, you recite halal. We can't do that this year because there's no Korban Pesach. So as a zecher for the halal that accompanies the shechitas of Pesach, halal is said b'beis hakneses at night together. That's one time. Now all of this ties back to one dvar agada, and that is, what is this all about? Why is there a hakpada? Everyone gets involved. You go to big matzos, not through a child, and all these chumras. What is this all about? This inyan of big matzos. Even people know there is a question. A lot of people, they mevazen themselves to big matzos. You have a chasher shiva. He takes off his hat and his jacket. He rolls up his sleeves, and they start taking pictures of him today in social media, and they show online. They show this big major league Rosh Hashiva in an apron and no hat and no jacket and all sweating, baking the matzos. Okay, so it's a hidden mitzvah, beautiful, but it's the hisalamta. There are times that it demands that a person should maintain his dignity. So this, throw this away. No dignity. When it comes to baking matzos, take off your kapata, your hand jack, put on the apron, sweat, and get to work. Why? Why is there such an intensity when it comes to shmata mesa matzos? It's super, super simple. And essentially, no one really makes this point. When we say in the Haggadah, matzah zu she'anu oichlem al shum shlo hispiku b'tzeikam lahachmitz, ad shenigle alehem melech malchei hamlochim hakadosh baruch hu uga olam. The entire element of guarding the matzah is a reenactment of awaiting the revelation of Hashem. When we were leaving Egypt, we had all the time in the world. Moshe, tell the Uber to wait. We ain't going nowhere. You'll have to pay for the waiting time. We have to bake bread. Take the matzah, they're baking, and all of a sudden, when they're waiting for that dough to rise, Gilui Shechina. HaKadosh, we have no idea what this means. No one knows what Gilui Shechina is. No one has a clue what Gilui Shechina is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina appeared. He revealed himself. Hashem did not allow the dough to rise. Hashem was swift. It was such a shock to us. It was such a moment of excitement. Every single year, every person has an obligation to relive that experience. To go to the bread, add the water. This is the moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. Gilui Shechina. You're going there to put yourself, to set yourself up in a situation where, at this moment, Gilui Shechina. Nachipazin, that's not what it says. That's not what it says in the Haggadah. Matzazu shon oichlem al shumo al shum shloi hispik b'tzeikam lahachmitz ad shehigle alehem melech malchei hamlochim hakadosh baruch hu ugi olom. Doesn't say in the Haggadah. In the Chumash it says ki b'chipazin. But look at the precise word. What was the chipazin? The chipazin was, there was gilui shechina. You're setting yourself up for Gilui Shechina. You're taking the flour, you're eating the water, and now is a dangerous moment. The dough is about to rise. But before the dough will be allowed to rise, in that sure moment in time, we await, we yearn, Hashem should reveal himself to us. Gilui Shechina. You can't have a goy do this for you. A goy is going to do this. What shayches does a goy have with Gilui Shechina? What shayches does a child have with Gilui Shechina? You're going to go to the store and you're going to go buy, put down $51 for a pound of matzah? What kind of Gilui Shechina is that? Gilui Shechina you have to experience. And the moment of experience is the moment when you add the water to the flour and the dough's about to rise. And quick, before the dough rises, you put it goes into the oven, because before the dough rises, the Shechina appears. It all goes back to one Yesoid. The one Yesoid is Gilui Shechina, and that is why we have this unique combination of elements that only appear by matzah and by no other mitzvah. It's because the matzah is a moment of gilui shchina. Have a wonderful day.